FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head crash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the burst.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Oh. Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up. From the very dawn of time, a savage and bloodthirsty struggle for survival has eradicated the weak and preserved the predator. After 3 billion years, evolution has produced two of the natural world's true survivors. Now, these specimens of intelligent Darwinism will do battle for supremacy of the species in the cockroach versus the cane toad. Ribbit.
It is a glorious time of the year, Chris. The air is crisp. You can hear the sounds of cane toads trying to move down south, then go, ooh, climate change, let's go back up north again. And there's talk of toad kill, the back of the paper today, one of the great headlines ever. But I'd like to talk about another issue this week, given that we are part of the Blues. Are there any Queenslanders in the room here? James Payton? Albie Tallarico, no. Blues all around. Yes. You're wearing your Newtown Jets jersey, I see,
am.
Chris.
There's someone to your left, Stephen.
Bronco Ridge. He's wearing a dirty maroon jumper at the moment. Now, the inner west of Sydney, of course, the heart of Sydney at the moment. It's really where the cultural heartbeat is and all the real action. And I was there last night in a pub, and I was looking around the room, and admittedly the steaks were very expensive. They were touching on Queenstown prices, $42 a steak, I think it was. Salmon, even more, so don't even go there, Chris. You know, the lobster, forget about the prices
Speaking
there.
Speaking of going there, how was the cocaine price index at the time then?
Well, look, I did see some cars come and go. Some deliveries were had. I didn't check the content.
Or the weight.
No. I think I saw a few disappointed looks. But
globally, prices were at an all-time high.
All-time high, Chris. Yeah. The economy is going gangbusters at the moment. But the whole room, mainly ladies, I got to say, were raising a Tui's Blue.
They're still making that?
They are. They brought them back into production. Wow. Have you heard?
No, I hadn't heard.
No. Albie, have you heard? Because you used to be famous for having the KB Gold.
Absolutely, at Henson Park.
Henson Park, yes.
Yes.
Have you reintroduced the Tui's Blue this week?
I've had one, yes.
You've had
2.2.
Yes. 2:45 a.m. in the morning.
That's right. Yes. Absolutely.
When you do your best business.
Well, of course, you've got to make the deliveries at 2:45 a.m. in the morning, don't you?
Yeah, look, the early bird gets the worm. There's no doubt about that. And so it's a big week for Blues, I reckon, Chris. I think that there's a feeling that Kevvy Walters has handed us the silverware finally at last.
On a silver platter, I think.
Yes.
You know, I mean, do we need to go through who's not there?
Well, James, you're a Sharks supporter.
I am.
You've got in the Blues team Jack Bird.
We do.
Yes. Jack Bird is loyalty, Chris. Jack Bird was a St George player, I believe.
He was.
Once upon a time. Jack Bird will soon be another team's player, correct?
Yeah.
A Queenslander.
Yeah. He's right. Gone up for the warmer climes.
But in the meanwhile, he's playing for the Sharks,
yep.
Who are blue.
Yes.
And the New South Wales, who are blue.
Yes. Fifita, he's Sharks, he's blue.
Fifita.
Now,
Maloney is blue. shark, once upon a time was a rooster. Loyalty, Chris. We'll talk about loyalty, won't we?
It's a declining currency. If the cocaine currency is in the ascendancy,
yes,
the value of loyalty is an enormous decline.
Right.
But nothing stays the same. I mean, I think in Origin, the announcement this week that what has been the VB Blues, including 2017, are set to become next year the Tui's Blues.
Ah, so we've got a year run-up, have we?
We do.
Okay. That makes sense, though, doesn't it? The only Victorians are playing for Queensland.
Yes.
Have we lost our audience yet? Are they confused?
It's why there's a big argument to end state boundaries.
Yes.
And if we became one United Nation,
there?
If we became a republic...
Right.
No one's thought about the hidden cost of republicanism, has it?
Yes,
because
yes.
What would you do with state of origin if there was just a republic?
One state, yeah. I said, what about the national anthem? Would that have to change too?
Well, I think we'll play the national anthem a little bit later today.
Will we?
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah. So, Tui's, of course, the New South Wales beer.
Yes, it is.
Now, used to be homed just where Central Park, the home of sort of shopping and high culture.
I haven't adjusted to the fact that that's no longer there.
Yes. Does anybody remember the smell getting off at Central Station when the brewery was operating back in the day?
Yes. Albie? I remember it very well.
We're dating ourselves here. Dating ourselves.
James, you're looking perplexed. You're too young to remember the brewery?
There was that. Fairfax was down the road, and somehow everyone seemed to meet at the Australia Hotel on the corner there.
Yeah, the chunking of the news press moving, the newspapers coming out, the smell of ink on paper, but more predominantly was getting off the train as a boy that came from the suburbs and smelling the stinking, horrible sour hops, and it was quite an appalling smell, but it just seemed so rugby league.
I go, Dad, what is that? And he goes, hops, son.
Hops. Yeah.
Part of a rite of passage.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel, Chris?
I feel pretty good.
How do you feel? Your first big game, your what's his name? Who is this kid? How do you feel? Your stomach churns, the liniment burns, your palms are wet. How do you feel? Your first big chance slips through your hand, what a serve you get. How do you feel? The pace is on, your winner's scrum, it's heaven sent. How do you feel when you score a try with a dummy and a jink? How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel like a Tui's. I feel like a Tui's. I feel like a Tui's or two. I feel like a Tui's or two.
Well, Chris, even if your team is, where is it? The ladder at this point in time, the West Tigers, the mighty West Tigers?
To give it a technical name, it's near the foot of the ladder.
The foot.
And once again, we simply say, God bless the Newcastle Knights.
Yes, indeed. Thank Christ for the Newcastle
In fact, any religious deity can bless the Newcastle Knights, as far as I'm concerned.
Any one of them. Yes.
As long as they're in our rear vision mirror.
Yes.
But one would argue, not for much longer, I think.
Really?
I mean, the West Tigers have never won, or if won is the correct word, with the wooden spoon. But the cupboard might be being opened, Cleary or not.
Well, that's why Origin is a gift.
It eases the pain.
You remain true blue, in the words of John Williamson.
Have you seen anything more touching than the way in which Teddy Tedesco and Aaron Woods have lit up, relieved of the pressures of Tigerdom, going into the Origin camp? Just south of the border, up there in far north New South Wales.
Your man Teddy famously said that we could rule for a decade.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're always looking for something to put up on the locker room walls, and who would have thought that Teddy Tedesco would be public enemy number one going into Origin one?
Yes, exactly. And if your research team, have they found any new tattoos on any of the players going into Origin? I mean, I know this is a great picture of, I can't say our Dougs anymore. He's bloody James's Doug soon, isn't he? About loyalty.
How do you feel about Dugan and what Flano's had to say, James, as he's come across into the Sharks camp?
Oh, we're very happy. And the truth is, he just wanted to be treated like a world-class player.
Yes, truth be told.
And Flano's managed to do that for him, and we'll manage to do that for him. It was something that St. George couldn't manage.
Do you think he was? I think you got him in a weak moment, 2:45 a.m. in the morning, and said, mate, you are a world-class player. Those Dragons, they don't get that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. They don't even know what a world-class player looks like.
World-class.
If anybody wants to know what a world-class player is, you go to, it's like the Page 3 girl, isn't it? If you go back to I think the second last page of the Herald, Tellier this morning, and he's in his nothing but his, well, he looks like he's got working boots and a pair of yellow undies on.
Is he coming out of a hyperbaric chamber there, or one of those freezing tubes or something?
It says cryofix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So he was crying this week.
Everybody's been crying.
I don't know why Dukes was... Because he's leaving the Dragons, he was crying.
Because he's actually advanced the conversation. There was a lot of concern in the negotiations with Millwood, not McGregor,
right,
about the difference between fullback money and centre money, because Dugan was saying, I'm interested in fullback money. What's this has proven? He's just interested in money.
Right.
And I think the sooner we get labels taken away... Yeah. So he's sort of gone into the cryo fix,
yes,
and stripped away all the livery and got to the essence of himself.
Right, which is yellow.
Which is...
And tattoos.
Yellow, yes. Yellow sluggos and a bunch of tattoos, yeah, yeah, and a bunch of green folding stuff.
Right. Stuffed where? I can't quite see it, but I guess that could be a check.
I'm assuming in the rear because it's not looking that impressive.
No, no. Cryo fix. Now, there's a few men crying this week, Chris.
It's been... I'm a bit red-eyed myself this morning.
Mm. I think that essentially we here at Fire Up are crying over the loss of innocence. And the major commodity, innocence is... The bedrock of innocence is loyalty. Like, you know, family loyalty, job loyalty, loyalty to your partner, to your, everything, the whole bit, you know. And now rugby league's been torn asunder, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
Loyalty's been tested at every corner, every nook you look at in rugby league. James, I know that you see the worst of human beings. You're a crim lawyer, right?
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
You work for Rake, don't you? and you see Sydney at its worst, the underbelly of Sydney, and there's not a lot of loyalty there, is it? They, you know, they'd sell their mother out, wouldn't they, to get out of you know, a fix?
Yeah, you've got to do what's right for you.
Can you see through a man? Can you see the lies, but after the words, post the words, through the eyes? Can you see into the soul of a man?
Look, I'd like to think I can.
Yes.
But, you know, it is difficult.
Yeah. Now, Albie's a man who, I mean, loyalty is his middle name. Henson Park. It's the heart of rugby league in Sydney. We know that.
Well, you know, anyone who devotes their life to the Jets has obviously got to have something driving
something
them,
driving
keeping
him.
Them going.
Yeah.
The man exudes loyalty.
Now, the Newtown Bluebags, of course, the oldest team in the comp, aren't they?
They are indeed.
By one day? Is it
one day? One day, yes.
Can we say it again? One day?
One day.
What, not Glebe? Not Cumberland?
No.
Not University?
Newtown Jets?
Not South?
We've got the books
to prove
it.
Tigers? Not West? No, nobody? Newcastle?
No.
Wow.
Newtown.
That's loyal.
Marrickville Town Hall.
Now, who showed the lack of loyalty when it came to the Jets when they were dumped? Who's the main offender?
Oh.
Come on, pin it on somebody.
The New South Wales Rugby League.
Oh. New South Wales Rugby League. Arco and Quayle, was it?
Humphreys.
No, Arco and Quayle. No, Humphreys was already gone with that after the Royal Commission, I think. He had to go. funny how things turn around.
A setback, isn't it? I know when I got notified they were doing a Royal Commission into you, Stephen, I seriously considered our relationship. But
you turned your back for a second, didn't you?
Yeah. The benefit of the, simply because ICAC is in retreat and they didn't. It was a tissue of lies.
Now, it goes back to the, where was the first act of treason against Jesus? Where did that happen? Who denounced him three times before the cock crowed?
Was that Peter?
Peter.
Yeah. Was it?
Played by Rory O'Donoghue in the original production of Jesus Christ Superstar in Australia.
Yes. Is that the Harry and Miller one?
Yes.
Okay. And look now, he's got a whole square and a basilica and everything named after him.
He does.
So surely there's something to be gained for selling your soul and, you know, stabbing your mate in the back.
Well, it's all redemption stuff. By the way, the historians have done a little bit of work, and Albie, I hate to tell you this, but there's some evidence that, in fact, the Adelaide Rams were formed 2 days before the Newtown Jets, but... That's not resolved.
Not the charges.
But you're talking about redemption, rugby league and whatever. There was one question coming out of this that I wanted to ask James. I mean, if you profiled your client base and looked at the percentage of rugby league players that you've had to represent compared to the population average of rugby league players in the population, and is it a higher percentage?
Well, in the criminal justice system, we do talk about groups that are... groups in society, categories of people that are disproportionately represented, and rugby league players are right up there.
Are they?
It's good to know.
Highly represented, yes.
Well, putting food on your table.
Yeah, yes. Now, many a tear was shed this week for various reasons. They went into camp, and of course the Queenslanders showed the fact that, pick and stick, Alan Jones's famous motto, loyalty is the thing that Queenslanders were known by. That regardless of anything, they were going to stand by their men, and their men knew that, and their men delivered in spades. And accordingly, this has now been, once again, ripped asunder, hasn't it, Chris?
I tell you what, wouldn't you love to do an analysis of the pick and stick Jones era, you know, the Capabiancos, the Jason Sinclairs, how's it gone for the Parrot?
It's gone for the Parrot.
But exactly, Trigger Trindle. But remember the famous story when Trigger Trindle lost part of his ear in a fight down in Coogee, and Nat Wood...
You were there, Chris.
I was there.
Yeah.
And Nat Wood picked up the piece of the year that it was on the sidewalk, and he picked it up. Yeah. Sorry, that's an American term, isn't it? On the footpath. And he's picked up the piece of ear and he's spoken directly in it. He goes, "Can you hear me, Tricky?
Tricky.
Can you hear me?" But Alan Jones at 2:45 a.m. was called by Tricky Trindle and said, "Alan, I need some help," and he's there. Because most rugby leaguers done at 2:45 a.m.
So Jonesy got the limo out at... Well, he probably wasn't down at the Opera House.
He wasn't at the toaster at that stage.
But anyway, he got the limo out to find the ear, right?
That's correct.
And he was scouring sidewalks. All across Sydney, found the ear, took it to, St Vincent's?
He personally supervised its reattachment.
Wow, personally?
Yeah.
Directed
Guiding the surgeon.
Incredible man, isn't he?
He's an amazing man. But no, loyalty's been rent asunder because pick and stickers worked for the Maroons for the best part of 12 years.
Yes.
And suddenly, as in all great dynasties, be it the Ming dynasty, Genghis Khan.
They don't last forever, Chris.
No, they do not last
forever. History will tell us this, yeah.
Even
Mesopotamia,
Queensland
Babylon, right? Greece.
Aging.
Rome.
St. George.
St. George. Did I tell you there was 11 years? 11 years straight. 55 to 65.
You know,
they had to change the rules to stop us. They had to change the rules.
And Albie, they had to invent Cronulla.
That's right.
That's why they came into existence.
You know, I'm in discussions, and I hope he's listening today with Larry Ryder, the author of Never Before, Never Again. And I'd love him to come on, but he goes, "I just don't think I'd be funny because, really, where is the humour in St George winning 11 in a row? I certainly can't see
it." We got a giggle, didn't we, Albie?
We love it. We love past glories.
Anyway,
come on, Larry.
That era's gone.
Yes.
The Queensland, we're on the cusp, aren't we?
And didn't Mal Meninga see the writing on the metaphoric wall?
Didn't he?
And he passed the Origin squad to poor old Kevvy Walters.
Kevvy Walters. What's Kevvy's nickname?
That's very good. It's Kevvy's.
It's Kevvy, yeah.
Kumquat.
Kumquat.
Kumquat, exactly. It was Kerrod, the
prune.
The prune.
The prune. So Kevvy and Gene Miles, literally like mates under great duress, they're holding each other for support in tears at the press conference. What are they crying about? James or Albie, you know what they're crying about?
Oh, loyalty.
Loyalty, the lack of.
Lack of.
Or their own sense of failure.
Betrayal.
Betrayal.
They betrayed Billy like Peter betrayed Jesus.
Exactly. And Billy Slater was crying too, as he would. And Billy's wife was crying. His kids were crying. His dog was crying. There were tears all over Queensland.
His accountant was crying.
I mean, really.
He'd already spent the 30 grand.
I think Billy Slater won the Best Sports Person of the Year award 3 times for Rexona, didn't he? So great. No, seriously, so great is Billy Slater.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. And is there any higher honour than
the not.
Rexona?
Because he was pitted against
Sports Person of the Year.
Golf people, whatever they call them.
Steve Hooker, the pole vaulter.
That's right.
A couple of AFL players.
Yeah, Formula One drivers.
Yeah, Mark Winterbottom, I think, was that.
They throw them all in together and give them a whole range of tests. Who won?
Billy Slater.
I think 3 times.
Year on year.
Golden man, Rexona.
I think Bob Catter was crying as well.
Oh, Bob Catter.
Bob Catter was in tears too.
Yeah.
The hat came off.
Yeah.
And he was in tears for his state.
He said it was a disgrace.
It was a disgrace.
Yeah.
Something about Darius Boyd wouldn't recognise a line break if it stood up and hit him in the face. Though he misspelt Darius, gave him 2 R's, which was a bit upsetting. But
gee, that's a lot of tears, isn't it? It's a lot of lack of loyalty, isn't it, though?
Yeah. But one thing about that press conference, Gene Miles, I didn't recognise him. I thought it was James Brolin or Chris Christopherson up there.
He does look like a famous actor, doesn't he?
He really has changed.
He doesn't look like an ex-football player, does he?
But why is Kevvy crying? And I have a theory.
Yeah.
He is like, I don't know who, like the kid with the finger in the dike against the rushing waters. He's actually found himself with a declining Maroon squad in a war with Melbourne.
Right.
Because the word was the old firm of Slater, Cronk and Smith, one of whom's now missing, said, "If JT's out, we're taking Cameron Munster, thank you." Whoa. Threatening Kevvy's authority.
Right.
And then so Kevvy goes, "Well, I'll take Anthony
Milford."
Well,
there's no greater authority.
There is, well, of course there is, Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett.
And by taking Anthony Milford and naming Thurston 18th man, it was seen as a cynical move to keep Milford within the Origin camp, and he's sticking it to Wayne.
Are you confused, James?
Yeah.
So how is it that the Queensland coach could be at war with the two mainstays, the pillars of the Origin team being Melbourne and Brisbane? Kevvy's managed it. He wasn't crying tears so much of concern and loss.
Fear.
There's a quaking in his boots.
But lack of unity. And that's why he's pictured delivering, finally, the gift to us.
The win.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's rung up and he said to all these camps, "What about the loyalty fellas?" And there's just dead air.
Yeah.
No, tough times.
Mate axing, that's what they call it. Mate axing. There's a bit of that. Now, I believe that the Blues were crying too this week. What would they have to cry about? I mean, did I see that Boyd Cordner wasn't crying because he's the captain? Captains don't cry. Neville Randall, if he was around, he'd be crying.
Though I think Wayne Pearce after the 89 grand final might have...
He was crying.
A little bit.
Yeah, I shed a tear in 2010. Did you, Albie?
Yeah.
When St George won?
I did.
Yeah, I shed a tear.
I think a lot of people shed tears of joy when it was announced that Bob Fulton wasn't going to be involved in New South Wales this year.
It's a beautiful trade-off, isn't it? Sterlo for Fulton. Yes. Were you crying the 2010 grand final because they didn't see, was it Gasnier step out of, run out into touch?
Yeah, in the touch, that's
so
right.
You felt bad for the referees?
Oh, yeah, for a second.
Chris, that was written a week before. The Roosters knew it. We all knew it. Didn't matter what happened on the day.
Yeah, I know what happened the week before. I keenly know what happened on the week before. But no, I think they did one
was
of
that the week before when I was sitting next to the Premier at the day, O'Farrell, and the Tigers and Benji... kicked a dud kick. Is that year?
Soward. Soward, of all people, kicks a field goal to beat us.
Soward. Wow. Boy. See, now, where are they now?
Yeah.
They're no longer with anybody that we know.
Soward.
Well, Soward, Benji.
Yeah.
Well, Royalty.
Benji's actually back this week.
Is he really?
He's been plucked from the obscurity of the Redcliffe Dolphins, and he's been given the starting job over Nikarima. I mean, who's just helmed the Broncos to six straight. Again, what's going on in Brisbane? Wayne Bennett has lost the... plot.
Well, he lost Brisbane. He's lost Queensland.
He's lost the dressing room.
He's lost the dressing room.
He's lost Ben Eichen.
Yeah.
He's lost Ben Eichen.
He's lost Ben Eichen. What has he got?
He's perhaps lost a home-cooked dinner.
Right.
Because why? Everything has a finite... He's looked at history. He's looked at the history of dynasties.
Yes.
And he says, I've had seven premierships. I think I'm probably done.
Yes.
And that drives a man to some unusual decisions.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he and Mal both boys from Roma? Or Cops in Roma? Or am I making that up?
No. I think Wayne put Mal on in the Cops when he was only...
See, and they both knew how to get out when the going's good, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and Mal keeps doing it, and Wayne's made a mistake. Right. You know what he's sitting there right
Can't
now saying?
Let go.
I should never have left Newcastle.
Is that right?
That's how bad it's got.
Yeah, well, that's a sign of lack of support and loyalty, isn't it, really? Yeah.
But I think the Blues were doing one of those... not so much a truth session, but what the Blues mean to me.
Right. So who broke out in tears?
Well, Nathan Peets, of course.
Nathan Peets.
He's crying tears of shock and disbelief.
John Waters loves him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Famously tweeted, I'd love to play for the Blues one day, but I'm not good enough and I never will.
Right.
Well, obviously, the selector's not following Twitter at all.
No.
But there were two others, and I'm not sure that anyone here is possessing the knowledge of who the other two Blues and Tears were.
We could surmise. I'd say that over a couple of cruises, Dukes and Fergo would be crying.
That'd be possible.
Yeah. I think Piercy might have been crying because after he went to rehab, he learned how to connect with his emotions.
His humanity, sense of his manhood too, but real manhood, you know, like the feminine side.
Mm.
Is there anything more poignant than thinking of Piercy in his cabin at the cabin with that self-realisation? I mean, the tears would be flowing.
Yeah, and you've got to visualise success. Do you think he was picturing this moment? Self-actualisation.
Blubbering in front of his teammates. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, if only he visualised the game, that'd help.
And like, you know, Belushi and Aykroyd, you've got the brothers are back together, aren't they?
Yes.
Maloney and Pearce.
Yes,
what a team. Yeah.
They could be in tears.
It's a bit of a... I mean, it's a concern to the average punter if you said our best halfback is Mitchell Pearce. Our only halfback is Mitchell Pearce.
Yes. Yeah. 10 years ago, it was exactly the same halfback.
And we
would have had Wallace as well, except Wallace was injured. So it's really back to the future for New South Wales.
And how well has he gone, Albie?
This year?
Mitchell overall in State of Origin. What's his
15,
record?
4 from 15.
4 from 15?
4 from 15.
That's worse
than
what Ricky. Or 1 out of 3?
Yeah.
Mm. It's about that, isn't it?
It's a bit worse than that, I think.
I think Nick Tedeschi said this week he had more missed tackles than he had runs in Origin.
More missed tackles than he is? Yeah. Wow.
Nick would know.
Now, I would suggest that Tyson Frizzell, not a crying man.
No.
So it's not Tyson.
St George people don't cry, Stephen. Don't cry.
Anyone else, Albert, you can think of?
I'm sure Boyd Cordner cried.
You think
I'm
so?
Actually sure he did. He rang Dad and cried.
Yes. So of all these Pierce Maloney, what about Clemmer and Woods? Big men crying over the new, over the beer sponsorship, surely.
You can see there'd be the three things.
Yeah.
They'd be crying about being selected,
the
beer sponsorship, and the fact that they'll be mates bonded in blue and white next year at Belmore.
Yeah. So that's their all. Line up, boys. Cryo-fix. In you go.
Yep.
Out you go. Stronger, bigger men. Ready to go.
The cryo-fix actually freezes the tears.
Does
and then
it?
They bring in an attendant who chips them off.
Yes.
And they're clean.
Yes.
Exfoliated, if you like.
And then donated to some service somewhere?
they recycle that water.
Wow.
You get it in those. It's not unlike when you go to Lourdes and you get those little icons.
Wow.
You can actually buy online from the New South Wales Rugby League a little pendant with a Clemmer Woods tier crystallized within the pendant. They are racing off the shelves.
Duge Fergo tier.
Oh, how good. Well,
that, a little cruiser
it'll
in there.
It'll be pineapple coloured.
Pineapple coloured tiers. Right. But no Tyson Frizzell tears.
No.
Wow.
No. True hard man. And you saw the way he manhandled that referee, like Hornswoggle last year.
And no Cordner tears?
Well, I think Albie's probably right. I think Mr. Cordner is a hard taskmaster. He's going, Dad, I'm captain of the Blues. He goes, well, you haven't captained Australia yet. Yeah.
Wow. That's a collector's item.
Always striving.
Because, you know, we got the Sturlo head the other day, the bottle opener head.
I tell you what, we left it here in the studio and, you know, it's been...
No, I've taken it home.
Oh, you've taken it home.
Protection, yeah. I'll bring it out when we need to. Next week.
Can I have the combination to your safety deposit box? Yeah. Just in case
I
need to get
into your will. Into the will. Now, look, talking of loyalty, John Grant, he's a man for all people.
He's a man for all times
and,
as well.
Yes, and he's a, you know, he's like he's old school rugby league. He knows how to survive. What happened at 2:45 a.m. during the week?
Booty call.
He wasn't ringing that the pumped up dude from Bondi.
No, George Gurgis. No, I don't think he was doing that. I mean, Albert, do you want to talk us through what happened?
Well, as Wayne Bennett says, nothing good happens after midnight. No. Nothing certainly did. No. But he sent a love email to all the chief executives, threw people under the bus.
But he's blaming the NBN, right?
No, he's blaming the NRL.
The NRL's email.
He's using the NBN to blame the NRL.
Right, their service provider.
No, you're correct. What you're saying is because the email arrived in the inboxes of said CEOs at 2:45.
All CEOs of the NRL.
2:45 a.m. in the morning on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because they'd had the Origin Hall of Fame, New South Wales Blue, currently VB, soon to be Tui's Fiesta.
Yes.
And I assume it's probably at the Star or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think Grant, you know, responsible consumption of alcohol is repaired to his room.
Right.
And you know how much trouble you have getting internet and hotel rooms. You know, they're always trying to gouge you for it and whatever. So he's penned a thoughtful email, probably pre-canapes at the Hall of Fame, and hit send, and courtesy of the NBN.
This is what he says.
Yeah, lobs up in the inboxes at 2:45 a.m. in the morning.
It's the NRL needs to get their tech guys onto this, don't they?
Or they need, I think you've pointed out, they need some sort of technical assistance like was portrayed in a movie.
Yeah, look, I think that when you need wisdom, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, they're the go-to guys where we need advice, right? And they famously came up with an app when they were working for Google. At least that's what I believe, and I watched this documentary. And the app famously taught young kids who like to deliver a text after they've had three cruises, you know, or Bundy and Cokes or whatever they drink, so hang on a second. How do we stop you from doing that in that slightly, I guess, vulnerable moment, Chris?
Yes.
A series of questions.
Yeah. Where
it's like a line to jump over, so to speak, before you hit go.
Where you type before you think.
Yeah, and much like those cars with a breathalyzer that stops you from, you know, stops the engine from turning on, it stops the text from going. Now, I believe that since this point, they put a breathalyzer on the PC of John Grant in the office,
right?
Which disables the computer.
And consequently, since that email, he hasn't been able to send one email.
Right.
Subsequently.
Wow.
Because of that security device.
So what was he up to with the email?
Well, and by the way, it's interesting how you see that movie as a documentary. I think that's really, really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm an old bloke.
The email has arrived because, of course, it's famously been an area of contention that the NRL and the Commission promised the clubs 130% of the determined salary cap moving ahead with the new media deal, which popular wisdom meant was $13 million. And ever since they announced that figure, they've been in retreat saying, we can't afford it, we've got a digital strategy, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So, of course, Grant's job has been unusually been tied to delivering what he promised.
Mm.
So he keeps reneging on the promise. And, of course, what do you do when you break a promise?
Mm.
You blame everybody else.
Right, okay.
And who's a very convenient target here?
Yeah.
Our man, friend of the show,
yes.
Fire up stalwart,
yes.
Chief O'Hara Todd Greenberg.
Chief O'Hara himself.
And Chief Financial Officer Tony... Yeah.
Crawford.
Right.
Wow. He's playing with fire then.
And so the email has said, we're installing Commissioner and absolute business genius Tony McGrath to oversight the process, which is an interesting choice of words, about what the money will be, and Todd and Tony will be called to account, again, interesting word, account, as for the shortfall and the reasons. And then the net result is... The NRL has to go cap in hand to one of the big four banks and go, give us $20 million, please.
But the banks have been hit with a slug in this latest
they've said, have you seen what's happened in the budget?
Yeah, come on.
Yes.
We haven't got that sort of money.
So do you remember back in Australian history where there was the Kemlani loans affair?
Oh, I do. Yes. Mm.
Do not be surprised.
Brought down a government.
If you had had to Moore Park right now, there might be some very interesting international business people with old patent leather briefcases queuing up for a seat at the table to help the funding crisis in the NRL.
Something to do with a pipeline, wasn't it?
Something to do with a pipeline. Rex Connor?
Yes.
And so the consequence will be that John Grant wants to be able to hand out the World Cup at the end of this year.
Yeah.
There might have to be a head on the platter. Are we losing time? Is there no loyalty?
But this is crash or burn stuff, isn't it? John Grant's playing a very divisive tactic here, is he not?
But it's a savvy tactic because he's looked at Kevy in tears, he's looked at Nathan Peace in tears, and he says loyalty means zot. Let's go.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bring it back to a positive note here, Chris.
Oh, great.
Loyalty, Jarryd Hayne.
Ah.
There's a man who's tried, he's played the field, and he's seen the light. He's come back. Good Minto boy. Mm-hmm. Good Blues player. Thought, right, rugby league's where I need to be. State of Origin's where I need to be. He's been given just one or two magic moments by Laurie Daly to deliver us what we really deserve. What do you think?
I think it's tremendous.
Yeah.
What do you think, boys?
Yeah, well, he's played NFL, so, I mean, he'll kill it, won't he?
Yeah.
Scientific conclusion.
Yeah. He's a big game player, isn't he?
Well.
And I believe the guys with the paddle pops are waiting. The Hayne plane's about to take off. Is that right?
That's really exciting.
Done.
Rarely in any sport has one individual left such an indelible mark on their chosen endeavour as Julian O'Neill. A leviathan among the giants of rugby league, he set a standard of conduct off the park that remains unrivalled to this day. Julian represented his many clubs, country and Queensland, despite being born in Sydney, with distinction. However, it was his off-field achievements that captured the imagination of the rugby league public. At Southport Magistrates Court in 1995, Julian faced five charges following an incident at Jupiter's Casino where he was reported to have urinated under a blackjack table. The charges included indecent exposure, offensive behaviour and threatening and swearing at employees. He was found not guilty, however, three fraud charges were dropped and he was awarded costs after settling out of court for $16,000. He was then released by the Brisbane Broncos. Julian then played a season with the London Broncos, but was released by them as well after a drink driving offence. He made a fresh start at the Western Reds in 1996, but was released by them in 1997 after being fined and disqualified from driving by Perth's Magistrates Court. Julian made another clean start at South Sydney Rabbitohs in 1998, but suffered immense publicity and a $10,000 fine from the club over a 1999 pre-season tour incident where he vomited over the walls of a Dubbo motel room and defecated in the shoe of teammate Jeremy Schloss. The incident became known as the Poo in the Shoe affair. In 2004, on a tour to Australia with the English Super League club Widnes, Julian was accused of attempting to set fire to a 13-year-old boy who was wearing a foam rubber dolphin mascot suit while on a river cruise in Port Macquarie. When confronted by the boat's captain and staff, O'Neill stripped to his underwear, dived into the Hastings River and swam to shore. Thus, the sun sets on another remarkable off-field career. They're laughing at me, 'cause I'm just naturally...
This is Fire Up. Chris, it seems a shame that we have to go so far back to find such a colourful story. And yet there's another initiative by our man Todd, Chief O'Hara.
For now.
For now. And I don't know if we necessarily applaud him for this, because he does love the soap opera, like we all do.
Yeah.
But not the soap opera to the level of Schlossy and The Shoe and Julia O'Neill, Urination, Drink Driving, being released, setting fire to dolphins. The whole bit.
It's kind of like, is it really soap opera when you sort of emasculate it like they do in Home and Away, rather than the flights of imagination you get on Neighbours? That's just a personal view. By the way, Julian O'Neill's son is apparently an up-and-coming league player.
Fantastic.
And Julian sat him down and he said, son, learn from my mistakes. And apparently he said, Dad, I don't think you need to tell me that.
Right, okay.
But yes, Todd's come up, and the Wallers at Rugby League Central have come up with the latest idea about how to modify public behaviour so that Zoe Marshall is no longer...
in good quality
public
service.
That I am a rugby league wag.
Right, NRL Good Behaviour Fund proposal aims to cut scandals in the code. I mean, really? Really?
Why?
Yes.
Yeah, but this is threatening our very existence, you realise.
We've been threatened, Chris.
I mean, how's James going to work?
James, exactly. James Payton, crim lawyer, and seriously, what was your percentage again of across the board? Was it 45% of all atrocities were committed by rugby league players in the general public?
Yeah, and it's so concerning that you know, the NRL want to try and do something about it, but I don't know. Like they Todd Greenberg's, I think, got the right idea. They need to keep themselves in the media.
Yes, yes, I see. It's a proposal only. Yeah. What you're saying
keeps people talking. So clever.
Put up the flagpole.
What's John Grant
see what
doing?
Happens? Okay, it says here, plan to give every club a $400,000 good behaviour fund. It's part of the next salary cap deal. It's an incentive to stop players from being involved in scandals. But as we said, Chris, if they do it, when is it happening? At the end of the year?
Well, the idea would be that there's this $400,000 GBF.
Yes.
And at the end of the year, the company, the NRL rates the club.
Yes.
And if there are any atrocities that have been committed during the regular season, plus playoffs.
Yes.
Against a very complicated calculation, funds will be deducted. And the funds will then, the remaining funds will be released. So yes.
I'm assuming that's an Excel document.
Yeah, so
and they've got a staff member who just looks at atrocities, and then they've got a rating system. Well, and as it happens, they add it up. They tell it, yeah?
Well, how do you work out what's good and bad in the ratings?
Well,
I mean, you know, Julian O'Neill, is that 100 points?
Yes. Is that? Yes. Well, you mean a total of 100 out of 100?
100 out
now,
of 100.
Now, Albie, you are the director of the Newtown Jets.
One of them.
One of them. And that is your job. You have the Excel sheet for atrocities, correct?
I have the point system.
Your point system. Now, you would have seen behaviour that happens. Now, generally speaking, it's either publicised or it goes unnoticed. Now, these are only if they're publicised offences.
Our players are so well behaved, I've had to put the point system away.
And that could suggest why you're not in the main game anymore, Albie.
Quite possibly.
You know? Yeah.
Your application for first grade is continuously rejected because you don't stuff up.
Yes, yes. You don't make the papers. There's no dramas.
No dramas at
No one's set fire to the mascot?
No. No. Not yet, anyway.
You can only argue that Gold Coast Titans and Parramatta Eels are still in the Premiership simply for their ability to stuff up.
Right, right, yes. What about New Zealand?
Well,
hanging in by a thread there.
By a thread, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you got deducted funds publicly in a show of strength that we don't like this, would those funds just come in through the back door from saying, look, you're doing a good job of keeping us in the media?
Yes, yes, yes.
And in fact, you make more money as a club by publicly having funds deducted.
Digital media strategy that way?
That's what would the Telegraph do during the week?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
Well, the Telegraph would become as thick as the Sydney Morning Herald, which is not very.
Not very. Slim on. Now, let's for an argument's sake, you're talking about 100 points. Let's say 400 points, and it matches the 400,000, right? So that's the point system, and if you lose a point, you lose a thou, you know. If you were caught, for example, during the year, Russell Packer style, jumping on someone's head in the street, what would you lose for that?
300 points.
300 points of the 400,000?
Yes, I think so. That's a big one.
Let's not get into domestic
violence. Who are you, Mal Meninga?
Yeah.
I mean, again, that sort of strict authoritarian...
Yes.
I don't know.
What about the Queenslanders going behind the bar and helping themselves to the grog?
No, well, I think Mal was entitled to do that, wasn't he?
Right, okay.
You know, and those who protested, I mean, he relies on the divine right of kings.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. That'd just be a concerning notice. Yes. There'd be no points deducted for that.
No, so that's a sideline straight away. Okay, what about, urinating as an art form, as performance art, you know, like Toddy?
Well, I think there's a spectrum there. Like, I think if you urinated on a member of the public, that would probably cost you 50 points.
Okay.
If you're doing an artistic expression like Todd was, I again would say I wouldn't even give that a concerning notice. No, I think that's just what it is.
Yes.
If you urinate on a mate, that could be seen as a positive in certain company.
Ah, okay.
Consenting teammates, I think, is okay.
Okay, all right. Okay. So, recreational drugs in Albie. That doesn't happen in Newtown.
No, nothing like that happens in Newtown. No. We only drink Newtowners out there now.
Right.
Young Andrew's right. Newtowners.
So not an issue for you guys.
Don't tell me. Right. Craft beer.
Craft beer, yes.
It's Hipsters Day tomorrow at Henson, isn't it?
It is Hipsters Day. All hipsters are welcome and FBI members too.
Let's talk about this, Albie. That's happening which day? Saturday.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow at Henson Park.
Indeed.
Singo's not welcome.
Oh, he's always welcome.
Always welcome.
He might come in the helicopter.
I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah.
My Messiah returning.
And when was the last time he showed up?
Last game last year.
Oh, that's good.
Once a year he comes.
See, maybe Singo could bring the helicopter down and out could step Jared Hayne, arms are stretched. What do you reckon on the hill?
That'd be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be great? In blue.
Again, it would be yet another dream, surely, for Jared to turn out for the Mighty Jets.
I think so. Is Jared a hipster?
No.
What rugby league players are hipsters in? Do they constitute any of that sort of...
Suffice to say, probably Aaron Woods would be right up there.
I would have thought Jack DeBellin's been a fair crack. He's done the man bun. He's gone the more traditional beard lineup now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of facial hair in... speaking of which, yes, James?
Woodsy's got the lumbersexual look happening.
Lumbersexual.
Yeah.
What about Gavin Badger?
Have you seen Badger in a suit?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Good-looking man.
Oh, he's a handsome man.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about
you wouldn't charge Badger to get in tomorrow, would you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
As long as he ref for us, it's okay.
Can females be hipsters?
I think so.
Yeah.
How do they...
They're not as sort of revered, are they? Unfortunately.
Well, no, but, you know...
What does a female hipster look like? Have you got any ideas, James? I've got no idea.
No, I don't.
The criteria is you get in, if you've got a hipster beard, you get in at no cost?
$5, I think.
$5? $5.
And I think FBI members too.
Okay, FBI members. And I know that when we were arriving at Henson last year, A.H. Kaylee lifted her arms and that got her
A hipster.
That got her the discount.
Right.
What if you're wearing the beanie? Beanies for brain cancer. You get in cheaper?
I don't know. We could find out.
You should think about that.
I think that's a good idea.
Still alive this week, surely.
Absolutely.
Well, we moved on again.
They cracked seven figures,
fantastic.
Possibly because of the publicity that we threw in, but they did really well.
Now, what about intoxication in public? What would you lose for that? Standard, sort of just found wobbling around the streets.
Wobbling around, 50 points.
50 points? 50 points. He's tough, isn't he?
Seriously.
Bloody hell.
It's a zero-tolerance regime around Henson.
Right, okay.
You can have a couple of craft beers, but don't have too many.
What about seeing on CCTV fondling a girl in a yellow dress, was it?
Bubble butt.
1,000? What do you reckon?
I support that zero tolerance there, Stephen. I think you would, and listen, think about the implications of, because it's a collective thing, the idea is that the other players will bring the recalcitrants and the Mavericks into line.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I figure it'll be like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
Players will turn on each other.
Yep.
And again, it's a masterstroke to show clubs in turmoil over cash.
Yes.
Wow. What a great idea.
So which teammates let Mitchell Pearce down that day in the house?
The beach house.
The beach house.
Was it?
I think future New South Wales captain Boyd Cordner might have been in the room that day.
He might have let him down. Redemption story.
Well, he learned.
Yep.
He learned. It was a learning exercise.
What about, let's go back further, Brad Fittler when I think he drove himself to the police station to declare himself the drunkest human ever.
He actually fell asleep on the nature strip.
The nature strip. Surely there's no points for that.
Well, that's responsible behaviour in a way.
Right.
So you probably get hit, what did you say, 50 points?
50 points,
And then you get a 25% discount for turning yourself in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough program to administer.
Now,
Then you've got the points that are suspended as well. We always have points that are suspended.
Right, okay. Yes. Suspended, But I was about to say defecation, but see, how clean has rugby league come that you can't even imagine that happening anymore.
I think
it doesn't exist.
Late Nate Miles was like a lone voice in the wilderness, wasn't he?
We remember that, don't we?
Yeah.
Remember that at Terrigal?
Yeah.
At the Crown Plaza, locked in the corridor, naked.
And again.
Knocking on doors before that or after that.
And again, in certain circles, that type of behaviour has a different connotation. But, it's exited rugby league.
Well, this will be a
I wouldn't call time on it yet.
All right. We're just one incident away.
Now, we haven't really given James much of a hammering today. James is the only winner here, given that he's the reigning premiership team, Cronulla Sharks, yeah. And I was there last year.
Shout out to the premiers.
Yeah.
Can I tell a story about this?
Yep.
In the excitement, and James, it must have been an amazing moment, and you'll describe in a moment.
Were you there, James?
I was, yeah. I saw Chris and Reg there.
And we ran into James in the train station, and I was so overcome with emotion and thrilled for the little brother emerging from the evil, malevolent shadow of the big brother of St.
Chris,
George.
The true story of the day was that it had nothing to do with that. It was really just about putting Melbourne in their place. That's all it was about.
That's all it was about.
All it was about. Sydney wanted one team to win and it wasn't going to be Melbourne.
So I found myself a little clouded in judgment. And James said hello and I momentarily confused him from James Chiswell from the NRL, who'd helped us get Todd Greenberg on the show. And I said, James, thanks for getting Todd on the show. And he was so magnanimous.
He went, no problem.
He didn't say, what's your problem? I should be deducting you 100 points for being intoxicated. He just smiled sweetly and said, that's fine.
Thank you very much.
So I just wanted to publicly take account here. How good was that win?
Oh, it was great. But look, in the last minute or two, I had like complete dread.
Yeah.
I was sitting behind the posts. I could see the 3,000 man overlap, and I thought the game was lost.
And they were running in your direction.
Yeah.
And were you running for the exits?
No, look, I just had my head in my lap, and I was just hanging on.
You know, I saw a few games in the finals last year, and
oh, really? Were you working them?
I was.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's why you never really criticise the NRL. I mean, I've been here. Asking this.
I love Todd.
Seriously, I've been calling them out and I'm looking for my brother in arms and all I'm hearing is crickets.
No, I want to give a rap to Stephen. I was at a couple of games where he was DJing and it had never been so funky in a football stadium.
You weren't a mudgy.
Yeah.
What about the grand final when he played Kraftwerk's The Robots?
Oh,
I'll take that one to the bank.
I was waiting for that moment.
Oh, magnificent.
But they're not, are they?
They're not. They're playing a bit of footy.
Playing better footy, now they're human.
And they're human. They make mistakes. Jesse Bromwich, tearful confessions with Ben Eichen.
Can we talk about the greatest human being in rugby league next moment after this song?
Yes, please.
And it talks about Melbourne. But if I could just say, on that particular grand final, a woman came up to me at the very end. She said, can you please play the horses? Because that's the Cronulla's song.
Yeah.
I went, really? Is it really? I didn't doubt her. So, okay, we'll do it. Tell me, is that true or not?
Yes, and it's more importantly, it's the new national anthem, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. John Farnham's really... Oh, he's crying.
Yeah, you're no longer the voice.
Yeah, he's no longer the voice. He's crying. There's going to be a battle off this grand final, isn't there?
You know they're touring together. It's going to
they're
turn
not
ugly.
Turn
they're
it
are they really?
They are. It's going to turn ugly.
You too, forget it.
Come back
Taylor
number...
Taylor Swift, forget it.
Come back number 17.
Rolling Stones, ACDC... Well, they're not... Jeez.
Are they going to play the grand final together?
They have to. Surely. The voice... The horses, come on. Is it getting any bigger?
With four people in chairs hitting buttons.
We want Delta, don't we?
Oh, we do. We do. But we're not getting Delta. We're getting something different.
Yeah, we want Delta and Briggs together to come
together.
That's
right. Finally. Get Delta and Briggs together.
Unification.
There you go.
Okay.
When they ask me where I'm from, when they ask me where I'm going, when they ask me where I belong, we are here. We want to see me. We are here. I am here.
I think I'm a half of a scrum. So we had six defenders on one. So it cost us a bit of play.
Okay, if we've got that wrong, I'll wear that.
And my stat man's telling me the tackle speed, 1.5 seconds slower on their wrestle.
Okay, cool.
I've been a choke on myself. I just had one there.
Yep.
It's an easy 2 points, I'm telling you.
Well,
I just think...
Okay, we'll have a look at them.
We're trying the hardest to work for you.
Now, that was Sam Burgess talking to Gavin Badger, the stylish Gavin Badger. And Sam Burgess, who, you know, like, he's crying too, just like anybody from New Zealand or Papua New Guinea or the UK who can't play State of Origin. They realise what they're missing out on. And they've shown loyalty to their countries, but what do they get this time of the year? Nothing. Zach, you know? And they're crying because they're not involved. But I say hero of the week goes to Sam Burgess, a man who we haven't really been terribly favourable to, a man who can eat four chickens in a sitting every morning.
Live chickens, too.
Are they live, are they, Chris?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. Yeah, he's gone from cooked to live.
The Burjo cut out the middleman.
He chases them? Does he catch them?
Well, that's part of the training.
And the eggs as well?
Yeah, I tell you who can't catch them is George. George's hands, like Jufish cutlets.
Because it's now, there's a betting thing happening, is there? How long will it take before he drops the ball? Yeah, yeah, 7 minutes.
And you catch out pretty quickly.
Right. Sam is complaining that Melbourne,
easy, big fella,
have an unfair advantage. And the unfair advantage, as nobody wants to talk about too much because it's boring, is that they've wrestled. And it's not just wrestling, it's slowing down the state of play once the tackle's made.
Grummery.
And when you've got one bloke and you've got four big blokes, and four big blokes in a concertina fashion just peeling off whilst Cameron Smith is the last man, looking around, looking at the ref, checking that everything's in line, we're ready to go, thanks, Your Honour. And doesn't get ever penalised for it. Well, they do occasionally, to be fair.
So
Sam complains.
So at halftime in the game over in Perth,
yes,
great promotion that was. I think it was bucketing down pretty much the whole game.
Right.
He's gone up to Badge and he says, my stats guy.
Yeah.
I always just thought they ran water on, but it's obviously more sophisticated now.
And Sam can cope with that.
Unless he's got an earpiece in.
Yes.
Which I wonder about the legality of that, if you're actually getting real-time statistics while the game is going. But he says, my stats guy is informing me that the Melbourne players are, on average, lying in the tackle 1.5 seconds more than us poor bunnies.
Right.
Therefore, accruing
every tackle
a distinct advantage. Every single tackle, on average.
Now, Albie, you send a dude out, don't you? Because you're monitoring these things with the Jets.
Absolutely.
And you send a bloke out to say, look...
run harder.
Run harder. Score some points. Yeah. Can you try and win today?
Tackle.
Run hard, Tony.
And they go, what? What's he talking about?
Yeah, it's a craft beer in a foot.
It's instinct. Instinct.
We are the comeback kings, Newtown. Right. As, you know, we need any side, if they're 30-plus,
we can take them. Yeah, yeah. How long we got? 5 minutes?
Yeah,
we can do it.
We can do it. That's no problem. We've done it so many times. Yeah, last game last year, 36-14, and we won 38-36.
But you need a man that's good with numbers on the field.
You do.
You know, to process that information so quickly. 1.5 seconds, average tackles per game we worked out.
About 400.
400 tackles per game.
So that's 200 of those are against you.
Yeah, that's around about
50-50.
So we reckon about 5 minutes.
Something like that.
So Melbourne gained 5 minutes every game.
No wonder they're saying there's not enough action in rugby league.
Yeah, I know.
And no wonder people are bored by the Storms. And no wonder that everybody should... If you want to get the clubs and the commission and the NRL United on something, it's not getting the Storms into the grand final. That's really what everybody's got to work towards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Sam Burgess, voice in the wind.
Yeah. If Sam wants to be better understood by the referees, maybe he could use an interpreter.
Yeah, well...
yes, because that's why Gavin's going, got it. I think, got it. What did you say?
Can you get an app, like, you know, they've now got voice recognition software, so
and interpretation.
Yeah, so it comes out in Strine.
Yeah, they got a little badge, a little device at the back of his jumper, and it does it for him, into his earpiece.
Because rugby league has played all over the world, so there's so many accents on the field now. Right. It's like the English Premier League.
Yeah, what is Sam's accent?
North. Up north. Grim up north. It's like a KLF song.
Down Mill.
Or is that the Justified Ancients of Moomoo?
All right, lad.
Well, I applaud you, Sam, for bringing... And what would happen, James? Yeah, I know that in the criminal law system, you know, you try all sorts of tricks. What would happen if a team just stopped playing as a call to action? We're not going to play anymore. We're going to stand here until you do something about it.
Well, you just keep running in tries, wouldn't you?
We can be able to just take advantage and keep running.
Yeah.
Kick and catch, go. Kick and catch, go.
You can lead your team off. There's been famous examples of that.
Well, you can agree to not turn up at a grand final, and then one team, i.e. South, break the agreement with the other team, i.e. Balmain, kick off, pick up the ball, score, and win a grand final. And it might have happened over 100 years ago, but I'm still furious about it.
Yeah. But good television now.
Well, the 1900 and whatever it was, because Pat will always correct me as to what year it was, it really actually wasn't on the
team. And you got your revenge, 1969.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Sam Burgess.
What did we do? We lay down.
That's right.
What do? We Melbourneised the situation.
Right. Now, Phil Gould.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Big movement this week in television world, Chris. There are a couple of competing... Well, it used to be Bolts versus everybody. Now it's Channel 9 and Fox Sports. They do get on in the flesh, but they're, in the bigger picture, there's a battle going on, isn't there?
Well, no, they're a war.
Competing interests.
Because one of them is... live and ad-free, and one of them is just free.
Right.
But a common interest, and that is lacks of bums on seats at Suncorp for Origin 1 has brought them together.
Ah.
So Gus Gould appeared on the marvellous League Life and gave some insights, including his nickname.
League Life is on Fox.
Correct.
Run by?
Well, hosted by the great Yvonne Sampson.
The great Yvonne Sampson.
Yeah.
How great is she?
She's so great.
Yes.
That when Gus explains the derivation of his nickname, he drew the analogy between Gus Gould and Sally Sampson. So she's the great Yvonne Sally Sampson.
Right, right. Because, you know, there's Australia's famous for great things. The Great Dividing Range, the Great Barrier Reef, you know, the Great Australian Bite, the Great Western Highway.
The Great Pineapple. Oh, no, that's the Big Pineapple, isn't it?
So Yvonne Sampson's in that category now.
In my book.
The great Yvonne Sampson.
This is the great Yvonne Sampson.
And what about Gus Gould? Is he the great Gus Gould?
Well, he was originally Gomer Gould.
He was Gomer Gould.
Yeah, because these alliterative names like Fred Ferris and Todd Tallarico.
When was this?
Penny Payton.
Penny Payton.
And Reginald Reg.
Right.
Or Reginald Rebetsky, maybe.
Yep.
So he was called Gomer Gould, but then, Albie, you know the story because he transferred, I think, from Newtown to South, was it? Or
yeah,
from Penrith to South?
Played for South in the mid-1980s.
Was he a lazy bugger at Newtown?
Yes, but a great ball playing lazy bugger.
Yeah, strategic
player.
Yeah, right.
Warren Ryan said he was the second smartest footballer that he'd ever coached.
Second smartest? Who was the smartest?
Ken Wilson.
North
he was
1-0.
Newtown 1-0.
Field goal.
Yeah,
versus St George, I believe.
He was absolutely.
What a great day that was.
Because Newtown and St George have been hand in hand, haven't they?
Very much.
Johnny
so.
Raper, etc. I know there's
there's lots of connections, which is good. Well, Gus was running. They had to do the hills of Coogee up Beach Street, which he did say in the broadcast, and he said, "Well, you know, there was a bus."
Can we just get our audience of ladies only, you know, who don't like rugby league,
who watch league life,
who know who Gus Gould is? Imagine Gus running up the hills of Coogee.
Yes.
What a picture that is! What sort of shorts was he wearing?
Oh, it would have been the old
slit up the side.
Yeah, I'd say
spray on.
Guts everywhere. You know,
guts everywhere. Yeah. Dunlops.
Guts cool.
Dunlops. Yeah, I'd say Dunlop. KT26 is probably up the hill at Beach Street.
What year are we talking here?
1985, 86.
Oh, great year for that. Yeah.
Renowned as a non-trainer. Absolutely. Right. So he goes up the hill, and he got it right. He said there was a 3-5-3. He's correct in his number. There, which is great.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, they've said, get on the bus, Gus.
Right.
However, what he didn't say was that he actually used to get on the bus.
He's already on the bus.
He was already on the bus.
Yeah, got on the bus, Gus.
They found out that, and hence the, why they gave him the name Gus Gould from the Paul Simon song,
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And I always remember when he won the Grammy, he thanked.
Gus Gould won a Grammy?
No. Gus Gould won the Grammy in 1986 for their rendition of the Newtown theme song. But Paul Simon won it, and he thanked Stevie Wonder for not releasing an album that year.
Right, because he won every year. Prior. Now, has Gus Gould, like John Laws, released any poetry recordings or books?
Books, yes. Poetry, no.
Yeah, that's something to be considered. Good as Gould is a great read.
I have it in the Man Cave, Tallarico. Yes.
Not Got on the Bus, Gus.
I have it in the Mitchell Pearce Library.
Do you? We must draw that out before the end of the year, I think.
I'll happily bring it in. All right. I'd love Gus to come on and read excerpts.
And so where did Gomer come from?
With Sally Sampson. It's just my dream show, Gus Gould and Sally Sampson.
Right, okay.
I can't have dreams on this show? Is that what I'm hearing?
You can dream. So where did Gomer came from? Not after Jim Neighbours. Not a great singer.
Well, it probably was Gomer Pyle. I think that's probably where they would have got it from.
But Gomer was the original first name.
Yes.
Yes. Gomer Gould.
But then Gus took over.
Can we bring it back?
Phew.
Golly.
Golly.
Oh dear. What else we got to talk about?
I think we're way over time, Stephen, but there's a bit of important administration that needs to be done in relation to rugby league grassroots, undernourished because of the digital expenditure from Supreme Leader grants.
Right. Okay.
Aren't you reading it?
Yes, I am. Now, there is an anniversary. How old is the Newtown Jets?
109 years old, yes.
Well, did you know that the Clovelly Crocodiles are 100 this week? You knew that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're our neighbours.
They're tough, aren't they?
They are.
Tough little bunch. I remember
they are resilient.
My son used to play for Bondi United. He used to hate playing against the Clovelly Crocodiles. Tough little buggers. Anyway, they're celebrating 100 years, and there is a dinner and a screening of a documentary. Nicholas Carroll has made a doco called Little Victories. Little victories, I guess. Little steps make big victories, etc. Anyway, we'll have to see the documentary. It'll premiere at this gala dinner at the Australian Turf Club in Randwick on June 17 from 6 o'clock. Guest speakers Adrian Lamb, Anthony Minicello, Sean Kenny Dowell. Did they all play for the Crocodiles? I'm assuming they might have.
Yes,
they
did. Yeah. Adrian's son has come through the system, and he's one of the actual real Roosters juniors. It's in the system right now.
Right. A real Rooster junior.
A real Rooster
junior. It's going to be up against Jake Hatcher's Cult Cinema. It's going to be a huge night for film in Sydney, isn't it?
You have a mind for dates, Chris Gaylart. Yes. Tickets $160 per head, or a table of 10, of course, you can add up. All meal, beer, wine available, etc., etc. Tickets are still available. You go to trybooking.com or calling Brad Peterson on 0415. 404 and 516 0415 404 516, but we'll put it up on the website straight afterwards, or trybooking.com. It is the Clovelly Crocodiles 100 year anniversary. Fantastic stuff. Hey, Albie, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
And Hipster Day tomorrow.
Hipster Day.
Henson Park.
Henson Park.
You still got the dude on the bike?
Absolutely. Johnny Tradd will be there. As long as we score tries, he'll be riding.
He'll be riding.
And Stephen?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. And James, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Stephen.
Look, I don't know how Richard Roxburgh's going. Is he treating you well?
Yeah, he's getting a few briefs.
You round up those crimps, especially those rugby league players, all right?
Yeah.
And go the Dragons.
You got a bias.
See you soon.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting round of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!